Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. We're broadcasting this week from the Pain Clinic here at Car Talk Plaza. Well, is this some kind of scientific study?
No. This is a very interesting story. You're going to love this. Tired of constantly being broke and stuck in an unhappy marriage, a young husband decides to solve both problems by taking out a large insurance policy on his wife with himself as the beneficiary. This is like in the inky shadows.
Right out of Columbo.
And he's arranged to have her killed. A friend of a friend puts him in touch with a nefarious underworld figure who went by the name of Artie only. No, just Artie.
Yeah, that's good.
Artie explained to the husband that his going price for snuffing out a spouse was $5,000. The husband said he was willing to pay that amount, but he wouldn't have any cash on hand until he could collect his wife's insurance money. Artie insisted on being paid something up front. The man opened up his wallet, displaying the single dollar bill that rested inside. Artie sighed, rolled his eyes, and reluctantly agreed to accept the dollar as down payment for the dirty deed. A few days later, Artie followed the man's wife to the local Safeway grocery store. There, he surprised her in the produce department and proceeded to strangle her with his gloved hands. Isn't this good?
Go ahead.
Wait a minute. As the poor suspecting woman drew her last breath and slumped to the floor, the manager of the produce department stumbled unexpectedly onto the scene. Unwilling to leave any witnesses behind, Artie had no choice but to strangle the produce manager as well.
I see it now.
Unknown to Artie.
I see it
entire,
now.
Shut up.
Two chokes for
no.
the price.
No.
Okay.
Unknown to Artie.
Two Artie
the
chokes.
Entire proceedings were captured by hidden camera and observed by the store's security guard, who immediately called the police. Artie was caught and arrested before he could leave the store. Under intense questioning at the police station, Artie revealed a sordid plan, including his financial arrangements with the hapless husband. And that is why the next day in the newspaper, the headline declared.
I know the headline.
Yeah.
Artie chokes two for a dollar.
At Safeway. You got it, man.
Oh, man. That's why it was the pain clinic. That was painful, man.
Artie chokes two for a dollar.
I give up.
Well, someone had to go to the great pains.
And you have the audacity when I use a lousy puzzle to say, bogus. Oh, come on. Well, look, if you think that was bad, wait till you hear our car advice. Anyway, if you have a question about your car or anything else, the number to call is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888. Artie chokes two for a dollar. 888-227-8255. I missed the at Safeway part. 8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Patrice calling from Miami.
Hi, Patrice.
Patrice. What's up?
How'd you like Tommy's little intro? Artie chokes. Never mind.
Pretty funny.
Well, yeah. Good, huh?
I thought it was pretty darn good. I mean, someone had to sit down and type an entire page to come up with that punchline.
I guess so.
And the thought that went into it.
What's going on, Patrice?
I have a 1975 Volkswagen bus, and it will not start. And when I turn the key, all I hear is tick, 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 tick. Tick, 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 tick,
huh?
Yes.
What have you done to correct this?
Well, we tried to jump it.
You did?
Yeah, and that didn't start it.
That's too bad.
Poured a can of Coke on the battery.
A can of Coke?
That didn't start it.
We don't recommend Coke anymore.
Ah.
Mountain Dew.
Mountain Dew, okay.
Does anything else work? Do the headlights work?
Headlights work.
Uh-huh. Well, how long did you try jumping? Did you just hook up jumper cables and say turn the key and nothing happened and you said, oh, darn it?
No, there were, one of the jumper guys came and he worked about 20 minutes, I would say, on the car.
He did?
Yeah.
What were you wearing?
Just exercise clothes.
There you go.
You can't trust those guys.
You can't trust 20 minutes.
Well, I mean, it sounds like a classic dead battery.
It does.
But it could be other things.
To me, it sounds like a dead starter motor.
It's either the battery or the starter.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's easy to test. I mean, you got to just bring it someplace that has a load tester, and they'll tell you in 2 seconds.
I mean, you're obviously not really dedicated. You're looking for a pour a Coke on the battery kind of fix here, I can tell, because you're not into spending any money on this thing.
You got it.
The idea of taking it someplace is out of the question. If we can't fix it, it's going to the junkyard or going to sit in your driveway.
Are you kidding? I almost bought a 75 VW bus only recently.
You want to buy this one?
No.
Okay.
For the same reason I didn't want to buy the other one.
Okay.
What was that reason?
It was a piece of junk.
Oh, yeah.
But I one day I just woke up and I had the hots for a VW bus. I don't know what came over me.
You must have looked at yourself in the mirror.
But I realized what I really wanted was a 60s VW bus.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah, the ones that were less safe.
Oh, man, but gorgeous.
Yeah, less power.
Yeah.
Yeah, all that. Well, look at Patrice.
Yes.
I think you have either a bad starter motor.
Okay.
Which is going to require that you change it or somebody change it. Or you have a seized engine.
Ah, that sounds expensive.
Yeah, I mean, if the fact, this guy who came to try to jump it, if he had a real jumper pack or a real battery, and he couldn't get the thing to crank over, then it means that the starter is probably bad. And starters can go without warning. After all, you know, it's been in there for like 100 years.
Right, right.
So I would that would be my first guess that it's the starter motor.
Okay.
But I can tell it's going to sit there. Call us when you get sick of looking at it. My brother will give you $50.
We'll do that.
Good luck, Patrice.
Thanks, guys.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 75.
This is never going to run again.
75 VW bus.
One hit.
We didn't even ask her why does she have a VW bus of that vintage. Is she a hippie? Does she wish she were a hippie?
A hippie wannabe.
Had she been a hippie?
No, I think 75 is too new a bus to have
been a hippie.
To have been a hippie bus.
Yeah. 60s buses were for hippies. Who were 75 buses for?
Soccer moms. I don't know.
No.
Well, don't forget the early bus was the precursor of the minivan.
Of course.
In 1975, there was no minivan except for the bus.
And you think some mothers were buying, hippies that got married or didn't get married but had kids?
You got it. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888.
Just trying to understand the world, you know?
27825. That's what gets us in trouble. 8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, guys. How you doing? My name is Reverend David Hackley. You can call me Reverend Dave.
Hi, Reverend Dave. How are you?
I'm good. I love you guys. I have a 98 BMW 528i, and I can't remove the key from the ignition.
Oh, no?
Where are you from, Reverend Dave?
Atlantic City, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah? Did you win this at the gaming tables? Or?
I'm in the Taj Mahal right now. But I'm not gambling. I'm working with a resort company.
Oh, are you doing a little mission? A little missionary work.
So the key.
And I've called them. They told me to press the brake pedal, turn the wheel. I've done all that. I think there must be some type of switch.
This an automatic?
It's automatic. And it's been in there for a week. I'm afraid to take it to BMW because I'm afraid what they're going to charge me.
So you can start the car up.
Yes.
You just can't get the key out.
I have to leave it in the car.
And you have another key, hopefully, that you lock the door with.
And it won't, you know, it won't. When you press the remote to lock the doors, it immediately unlocks them back.
Right, because this has a feature that won't let you lock the key in the car.
Right.
So you can't lock the car.
Can't lock the car. I have to hide it with my hat.
Yeah, well, there's no one going to figure this out except a dealer.
Oh, man, I know. Yeah, my guess is that I'm not entirely sure how this thing works in this car, but lots of cars have either a cable that runs from the shifter up to the ignition lock, or they do it with a solenoid.
Yeah,
you know, so there's an electrical signal. But and when that thing disengages that pin, then you can turn the key back all the way and get it out. But it's very likely that the problem is in the shifter itself.
That's what I'm thinking. One more click and I can get it out, but it won't.
Jeez. Yeah, and if you try to force it and you break the key off inside.
It's a $100 key.
Or worse than that, it's a $500 lock.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you don't want to do that either. But I think you don't have much choice, Reverend. To hit the roulette table and see if you can win an extra $600 and you'll be good to go.
Yeah. Thank you so much, guys.
And don't worry. You will be forgiven for those words you use when this happens.
I love you guys.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
I mean, does Reverend Dave, like everyone else in the world, remember we had, I think it was Sam?
Yes.
He was fundraising with us one day.
Yeah, he was like 10 years old.
He was like 10 years. we invited him into the studio, and he was telling us about the accident his mother had had. She had driven into something. And we said to him, of course,
yeah, she drove over a log and the car got stuck. And she was late for something.
Yeah. And we said to him, Sam, what did Mommy say when this happened? And he starts laughing. And we said, was the first word, oh? And he laughed harder. We said, what was the second word, Sam?
I can't say it.
Well, Reverend Dave, I'm pretty sure you said the same thing.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, I'm Monique, and I'm from Maine.
Hi, Monique. What an unusual name.
Well, my dilemma is I'm originally from Queens. That's not my dilemma, but...
You're from Queens?
Queens, New York, yeah.
Really? What part of Queens?
Sunnyside.
Yeah,
it's by Long Island City.
I know another Monique from Queens.
Side. Oh, you do, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, my wife.
Uh-oh. That's not me, though.
No, I know. Actually, you don't sound like you're from Queens.
I am from Queens, anymore.
How do you say the following word? D-O-G.
D-O-G?
Yeah.
Dog.
You're from Queens, all right. Dog.
What's up, Monique?
About 12 years ago, my sister bought a Mazda Miata.
Yeah.
And she parks it in... garage that's located under like a house. It was probably about 2 years old, and on the 4th of July, like an ash can or a cherry bomb, you know, one of those little explosives blew up, and her car alarm went on for the whole night. And she went to start the car and the car didn't start. That was about 10 years ago. She has
why are you bringing it up now?
Well, because the car's been in the garage for the last 10 years.
Get out.
Yep. She's been paying rent on this thing to be parked in this garage for 10 years, and now the people that own the house are trying to sell the house, and the car has to go.
Why has she not driven the car?
She just never went and got the car jump-started and...
Didn't get around to it.
Nope. And, of course, now my kids remember this Miata. They're now 16 and 14, and they're like, ooh, that Mazda Miata sitting down there in that garage, and I could be driving that car. Can't we tow that thing back to Maine and just add a little WD-40 or STP and get it going? And I'm like, I think we should just push it out in the street and let nature do its thing, you know. And I know the tires are all flat and it's covered with dust, but she's not done a thing to it.
But it has like 18,000 miles
on it. It has no miles, right.
Oh, your kids are 100% right.
Hold it
no matter what it costs.
Sure.
And
they're right.
Thing to me.
Just squirt a little WD-40 on the front seats, and that's it.
Yeah.
Are you kidding? It could just start up like that?
Of course not.
Oh, no, it'll never run again.
But it could run.
Did your sister lose the key, or does she still have the key?
She has the key, yeah.
All right. Well, obviously it's going to need some stuff. I'm sure it's going to need tires and brakes and obviously a battery. The battery's no good.
But not like a new engine? I thought she'd have to, like, put a whole new engine in that thing.
The engine's a little. They're not much bigger than the battery.
It would be nice to find somebody in Maine who has the patience to not destroy it before it has a chance to start.
I see.
I would go to cartalk.com. And there's a thing called the mechanics files.
Oh, okay.
This is a list of mechanics that people who have visited our website are recommending because they've been to these guys and they say they're good.
I see.
Just put in your zip code and it'll give you all the mechanics that are near you.
You have zip codes in Maine, right?
Yep, we have zip codes.
Yeah, it's one zip code.
Okay,
I wasn't sure.
You.
I mean, I don't know.
They don't all have zip codes.
I have a different take.
On Maine?
On the car. I think you should let the kids figure it out. How old are the kids? 16 and 14?
Yeah, they think they're going to figure it out.
They are going to.
Oh, yeah.
And if they don't, so what?
That's
I mean,
true.
You're ready to junk the thing anyway. Let the kids learn about, this is a nice-sized car, and it's a nice manageable and not an overwhelming, it's a very simple car. This is a great car for young kids to learn on. Let them do whatever it takes, and if they don't get it started, you let it sit in your yard for the next 10 years.
Because it's worth nothing now. My only concern is that they might get hurt.
It might blow up or...
No, it might not blow up, but they might try to jack it up and drop it on themselves.
They'll need some guidance in that regard.
They need some guidance.
But basically, you got two kids?
Yeah, I got three kids.
Oh, three, you're all set. One gets hurt, you still got the other two. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I mean, if there were some neighbor who knew something about Is there some old retired guy named Krusty up the street? Because that would be the best thing, you know.
An old lobster fisherman there.
Preferably someone who knew a little bit about cars, who could sit there in his little chair and sort of tell the boys what to do.
Everyone in Maine knows a little bit
about
cars.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Put the jack under here. Be careful you don't do that. Put a couple of cinder blocks over there.
That's right.
Yeah, Jimmy, put the fire out on Billy. Yeah. You know, stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, that would be a wonderful way to spend a couple of months or maybe the whole summer.
That's true. That's a good point.
Yeah, and they'll have a lot of fun. And they're going to learn a tremendous amount of stuff.
On the car. All right, yeah. I think I'll
like
do that.
Like how to put out fires and, like, you know.
Stuff like that, yeah.
Say money.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
Good luck.
Bye.
All right, it's time for us to take a short break. When we come back, we'll have what?
A chance to redeem ourselves with our listeners.
Oh, I think the window closed on that one. No, when we come back, we'll have the answer to last week's puzzler, which was from my African rainforest series.
I remember it.
You do?
No, I don't.
Well, fortunately for you, you don't have to, because I'll retell the whole story, and it's a good one, and give you the answer in just a minute. And of course, we'll have more of your car questions, too, so please stay tuned.
We drove into town one Saturday morning. It was a beautiful day, sunny and warm. Do a little shopping, check out the sales, pick up some food, drop the mail. 1 hour parking, the street sign said, my baby just shrugged and shook her head. Just 1 hour, that's a disgrace. It takes almost that long to get into the space. Because my baby can't parallel park. After all these years, she's still in the dark. Back and forth and up on the curb, bumping and grinding, it gets on my nerves. Rocking and rolling with all of her heart, my baby can't parallel park.
And even though the three little pigs wish the big bad wolf would blow down our broadcast tower whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if your cable box broke and you can't watch anything other than C-SPAN.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and, of course, the answer to last week's puzzler.
You said African rainforest.
I did indeed, and that's what drew me to this puzzler. The first few evocative sentences written by Jim Hawking, who sent this in, and here it is. Jim says, you ready for this? I loved it. I work in a small country called the Central African Republic.
Hmm.
We were traveling one day through the middle of the rainforest on what is called the Fourth Parallel Road. Sounds like the parallel universe. When lo and behold, the right front caliper of our 2004 Nissan Patrol fell off.
Oh, bummer. Bummer.
Well, no kidding. Evidently, the individual who performed the last brake job had neglected to tighten the two mounting bolts sufficiently, and those two bolts loosened up and, of course, fell out, along with the brake pad somewhere on the previous 75 miles of the dirt road that we were on.
Yeah, good luck finding those bolts now.
Oh, yeah, they're gone, that's for sure. And the caliper is now hanging by nothing but the rubber hydraulic brake hose. Mm. And the danger, of course, is that if we keep pumping the brakes with the caliper loose like that, with no disc and no brake pads, the caliper pistons would have nothing to restrain them, and they'd eventually just, what, fall out.
Yeah, and all the brake fluid would leak onto the ground.
Exactly, and that would be what?
Bad.
Very good. Did I mention that we didn't have any tools?
No, you forgot to mention that.
Well, we didn't have any tools, but I did feel confident that we could press on with three brakes working if only we could somehow disable the dangling caliper and protect our brake fluid.
Mm.
Well, while four of us pondered the situation and despaired, a local tribesman appeared like out of nowhere and offered his assistance. He didn't have any tools either, by the way. We explained to him what happened, and the tribesman squatted by the front bumper and studied our dangling caliper situation.
Oh.
He then walked up and down the road as if he was looking for something, maybe those bolts. Then he walked over and pointed to my shoes and asked if he could have my shoelaces.
Oh.
He took my laces and began to wrap the laces around the caliper and secure it to the undercarriage so it wouldn't drag, I guess. That's all fine, I thought, but clearly this guy had no idea that after a few more applications of the brake pedal, the caliper pistons would pop free, we'd lose all our brake fluid, and be unable to stop.
Sure.
And die. He then told us we were free to proceed. You'll be safe now, he said.
Mm.
I studied his repair. I got down there and kind of looked more closely. And by Jove, he was right. We would be safe. And we did complete our journey safely, albeit with just three working brakes. The question is, what clever solution did he come up with to make the truck safe to drive? Well, you know, when you step on the brake pedal, what keeps your pistons from falling out, as I mentioned, is that the pads and the disc rotor are there. But now the caliper is hanging, and with each successive pump of the brake pedal, the caliper piston is going to come farther and farther out until, in fact, it does fall out.
Yeah.
So this guy who knew nothing about brakes, probably never seen a brake in his life,
yeah,
saw what was going on, and when he walked up and down the road, he found a rock. He shoved the rock in between the caliper piston and its bracket.
Of course.
And as such, basically, with the rock, replaced the missing pads and the rotor, right?
Yeah.
And constrained the movement of the caliper piston so it couldn't fall out. He then used the shoelaces to tie up the caliper to the frame so it wouldn't bounce around and dangle and break off. And off we went.
Wow.
Pretty cute, eh?
Wow.
Do we have a winner?
Yes, we do. Our winner this week is Alan Massey from Baltimore, Maryland. And for having his answer selected at random from all the correct answers that we got, Alan's going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division, with which he can get the 2012 Car Talk Page a Day calendar. Lucky guy. Why would he want that?
We're not interested in what he wants. We want to get rid of these things.
All right.
So that scintillating Car Talk Page a Day calendar can be yours, Alan, if you want it, for being this week's puzzler winner.
Yeah, congratulations.
Well, and look, we'll have a brand new puzzler coming up in the third half of the show today, so don't touch that dial. In the meantime, and it's I would say it's quasi-automotive.
Quasi-automotive.
Semi.
Folkloric?
No.
Geographic?
Geographic? Yes,
yeah, geographic.
Yeah. Not historic, not folkloric, not, I don't know. It's
how
pretty
about
bogus. Anyway, you'll have to wait and find out. Anyway, Bogloric. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Robert Evans calling from Philadelphia.
Hi, Robert.
Philly, yeah.
Yeah.
What's up?
I got a 93 Jeep Grand Cherokee. It's got 126,000 miles on it. And it has this constant tapping. If I'm sitting idle for any time, not even for any time, if I'm idling at all,
yeah,
no music on, I can hear it.
That's the problem. No music, man.
No, I have music. I just sometimes turn it down so I can see if it's still doing it.
That's the problem. Don't turn it down.
And how did you describe it? Ticking?
Yeah.
Tick, tick, tick.
Yeah, maybe not quite that fast, but it does.
Right. Not
at
idle,
it's tick, 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 tick.
No, it's more consistent, but about that speed, yeah.
Oh, so it is consistent.
Yeah.
And if you rev it up a little bit, does it go tick, 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 a little faster?
By then, the rev of the engine is loud enough that I can't hear it.
Right, it drowns it out.
Right, but it still does it.
Do you have the six-cylinder engine?
Yes, straight six.
Yeah.
4 liter.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it is.
Mm.
Yeah, do you think so?
It's the 4-liter engine.
Yeah. This engine that's in this thing has been around in one form or another.
1965.
Since 1965, yeah.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah, I mean, the basic engine. Mm-hmm. And back then, they had trouble with the same.
And they keep saying, should we fix it? Nah.
Well, they did fix it. I remember at one point, and I don't remember how long ago, but they did come out with a new set of rockers and push rods and the whole bit. And on many of these engines, we even changed the hydraulic lifters to solve this very problem.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And it may be that that's what you need, but you could also have low oil pressure.
Now, I check the oil pretty regularly.
Yeah, but see, you could have enough oil, but not enough oil pressure.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
So you need to have the pressure tested.
How many miles on the vehicle?
126,000. thereabouts.
Yeah, it's possible with that many miles that you could have low oil pressure. So that even though there's 5 quarts of oil in it, it doesn't mean that it's getting pushed to the places it has to get pushed to.
Well, you may know, you maybe don't know, but I own a 1987 Dodge Dakota pickup truck, which I bought. It was the first new vehicle I ever bought in my life. It was quite a thrill. And after I had the thing a few months, I noticed that when I started it up in the morning, or sometimes even when the thing was warmed up, I would get the same kind of tick that you had, that you have.
Like?
Tick, 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 your nervous tick.
The nervous tick.
And so, of course, being a you know, an owner of a new car and entitled to the privileges and rights that, accompany that, I go right back to the dealership and I tell them what's going on and in no uncertain terms, you know, insist that they fix it. Well, of course, they didn't fix it. And here it is, and the thing is still ticking.
It's still ticking. Like, there was a TV ad, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. With the Timex watch.
John Cameron Swayze.
And it's still ticking, and it hasn't altered its performance or anything.
And and whatever is causing the ticking, which we know, it didn't break in all this time.
No. I mean, if you don't have low oil pressure, you could certainly go ahead and invest in a set of lifters and push rods and all that and probably get the noise to go away. But I don't think I'd do anything.
Okay.
Assuming the oil pressure's okay.
Well, you have to do one thing. Don't turn the radio down.
Right.
You had the radio at the right level so that you don't hear it, and this is a clear case of what you don't know probably ain't going to hurt you.
Okay.
See you, Robert.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling, Robert.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.
Ignoring certain sounds is good. Noises, especially.
Is that why you never listen to me when I talk to you?
Exactly. What? 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Sonia. I'm calling from Minneapolis.
Minneapolis. Yeah, I know. I've heard of it.
You know that. Yeah,
yeah, roughly, yeah. Actually, neither one of us could tell you. Could you give her the longitude and latitude of Minneapolis?
Minneapolis. Isn't that where my friend Les Block lives?
That's about it, yeah. Close enough. So go ahead, Sonia.
I'm calling about my husband.
Yeah.
And he's taken the idea of not talking on a cell phone in the car to a whole nother level. And that is when we're in the car together, he won't talk to me at all. And I'm just wondering, he says it's for safety, and is this really necessary?
Also, when you two are riding together in the car.
Right. If I'm driving, he won't talk to me because he said it distracts me. And then if he's driving, he won't talk because he likes to focus.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're going to be driving to South Dakota for Christmas, and that's a pretty long drive.
Yeah. How long have you been married?
A little over 4 years.
Four? This doesn't happen until about 40.
Yeah, I mean, my wife still talks to me occasionally. Well, she says stuff like, turn the heat down, stupid. I'm dying here.
Well, I mean, your husband is right to some extent because talking is distracting.
Yeah, I mean, he is taking it to the extreme. The reason that we've always objected to cell phone use, especially by drivers, is that the person on the other end, that is the person not in the car, doesn't really know when things are coming up that could endanger the occupants of the car.
Right.
So, but the other passenger in the car does see those things,
exactly.
Same things. So if you're sitting there and you're in here having a conversation and you notice that he's veering off the highway, you would scream and grab the wheel.
Exactly.
You know,
sure.
And so if you ever got distracted to that extent, then you would, in fact, that your presence would be able to save his life.
Right.
And you could argue you wouldn't be endangering it. And moreover, you know, talking on a long trip, it tends to keep people awake. I know when my wife and I go someplace, she's good for about 3 minutes in the car. The next thing I know, she's staring up at the ceiling. And she's fast asleep. And it makes it tough for me to stay awake if I'm the driver.
Right.
So does he claim that conversation in either direction is bad?
Yeah, I think it's mostly for me. I mean, and the truth is I haven't had any accidents since I've met him.
So are
you a blabber?
No, but I...
You sure?
I'm easily distracted.
What's your favorite topic of conversation? Maybe he just doesn't like the conversation.
I think it's nice, you know, when you're going to go visit relatives for the holidays to kind of, you know, prep each other on...
Yeah,
you know,
on who's married
Sally,
to who.
And, you know, she...
Sure.
falls asleep at the table or whatever, you know.
We always have to prep each other when we have a family thing on who died.
Right.
Because it's nothing is more embarrassing than asking about someone's spouse or mother.
Right.
And you go, oh, yeah, well, she died. Oh,
she's
really?
Still dead.
She's
still
right.
dead. How's your mother? Oh, she's still dead.
Whoops. Right.
Maybe we should talk to your husband, Sonia. What do you think? Yeah.
It might be.
Can we reach him? Can we reach him? Is he talking today?
We could try.
All right. Give us his. We're going to take you off the air for a minute. You can give us his number, and we're going to talk to him.
Okay. Should I stay on?
You can stay on, but you can't talk.
That's not fair.
Go ahead. We're off the air. Give it to us now. Mm-hmm. And what's his name?
Barry.
Barry.
Okay. Here we go. Getting ourselves in a lot of trouble here.
Hello?
Is this Barry?
This is.
Hi.
You know who we are?
I can recognize the voices, yes.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we've been talking to your wife, Sonia.
Yeah.
And she's worried, I guess, that you have decided that it's dangerous. Well, maybe it's not dangerous, but you've decided not to speak to her and that she shouldn't speak to you when you're driving in the car.
Well, it wasn't a decision so much as it's something that's never changed since day one, though. I mean, this is a policy I've always had.
You have?
Yes.
And so it's not something that Sonia said to you that has made you adopt this policy. You're not trying to just shut her up.
No, not at all. In fact,
not
in non-automotive situations, we have wonderful conversations.
Ah,
really?
Yes.
Really. It's just so. What's your rationale, so to speak? And I understand. I'm sure some of it. Maybe you can elaborate as to why you shouldn't be talking, engaged in conversation.
Well, I mean, simply for me, I just know that distractions of any kind, no matter what they are, in a car,
are dangerous.
Are dangerous.
Yeah.
So I've just gotten into a mindset where if I can, as soon as I get into a car, stay focused. It works out great. And it's worked out because I do not have one accident or nary a close call on my record.
So this is not something new?
No, it's not new at all. The only thing that's
changed... Was this in the prenup?
No, we didn't sign it.
You didn't sign prenup.
The only thing that's changed with this is that the introduction of cell phones, now that I have a cell phone and I'm very rigid about including cell phones, that only the passenger in the vehicle may use the cell phone.
Well, here's the solution. She should get on the cell phone and talk to her mother for the 3 hours that it takes you to get to Duluth, right?
And
would that be all right?
That would be fine. I'm fine with that, yes.
Well, I have to say that I tend to agree with you. First of all, what I've noticed...
But we won't be inviting you, Barry, on any road trips.
No, but I noticed that when I go on a long trip, I don't talk to my wife either. And I think it's because I'm focusing on the road.
Right.
And I Barry, I'm with you.
How could you be focused on the road when you're doing this? can we is Sonia still around? Is she still on the line?
Hey.
Hi, Sonia.
Can you hear Barry?
I can.
You can?
She was being so quiet.
Wow.
Yeah, so unusual, eh?
I like that idea, though, that I can talk to somebody else.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you have to talk, then
right.
It's going to have to be with someone else. And, right. And Barry seems to be okay with that.
I'm absolutely fine with that.
It doesn't matter who I'm talking to either.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Well, except your girlfriend Janice. He doesn't want...
You notice how I use the word rigid 3 times?
Sonia, come on, lighten up here.
Yeah, and you knew this was coming because this was in the prenup.
Yeah, we'll get one of those.
Yeah, and get yourself your own cell phone, Sonia, and talk to your mother when you're in the car, or Janice, or whoever you want. And,
it's going on my Christmas list.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, good luck, guys.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Thanks.
And if it creeps into the kitchen and the living room, call us right back.
Okay.
See you later.
I'm bye. With you, Barry. Right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, look, it's time for us to take a brief little respite.
A respite? How civilized. Are we going to have a repast during our respite?
Well, I'm going to pass something, but I don't think it would be very civilized to discuss it.
We'll be back with a brand new puzzler and more of your calls in just a minute.
Cars and trucks and trucks and cars. They go real fast and they go real far. They take me where I need to go. See those tires spinning on the road. Cars and trucks cars. They go real fast and they go real far. From where I am to where you are. In cars and trucks and cars.
And even though Carl Castle wonders if that job selling aluminum siding is still available, whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and of course, the new Puzzler.
Yes!
This, and I said this was kind of semi-automotive.
Yeah.
Quasi.
And you said it was geographic.
It is, and you'll see.
Yeah, go ahead.
Last month, Tommy and I decided that we were going to take a trip up north to see the foliage. And our wives decided that they couldn't stand it to be in the car with us, so we were on our own. So we get into the car, and Tommy drives the first 40 miles. I drive the rest of the way. When we get there, we turn around, we come back the same, we look at the foliage. Okay, trees are nice. Okay, let's go on. Yeah, look at that. The trees. They're all funny colors.
Let's go get coffee.
Tommy says, yeah. Let's go get cappuccino. Yeah. We take the same route back, of course.
We are both colorblind, so we didn't know when we got to the trees.
Well, we knew they were these big things.
The big things. Yeah.
So we come back on the same road, and Tommy drives the first leg of the trip, and I drive the last 50 miles home.
Ooh.
Okay.
I like it already.
So I get home. My wife says, how was the trip? And I say, I was with my brother. How good could it have been? And she says, who did the driving? And I explain exactly what I just said. On the way there, Tommy drove the first 40 miles, and I drove the rest. On the way back, Tommy drove the first leg of the trip, and I drove the last 50 miles. She said, yeah, but who did most of the driving? I said, well, you can figure it out. In fact, you can even figure out how much more of the driving was done by that person. She says, I can. And I says, you can. So the question is, who drove the most and how many more miles did that person drive? Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard. Now, I didn't say how long we were gone.
No.
How far we went.
No.
Or even where we went.
Yeah.
It was all a secret. If you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard. Or in a box of Cuban Monte Cristo torpedos, along with the seal of authenticity, particularly you guys listening on Armed Forces Radio, if you know what I mean. You guys want to win the puzzle this week? And send them to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. Or you can email your answer to us from cartalk.com. But right now, if you can't wait another minute and you have a question about your car or anything else for that matter, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Lana from Moncton, Maryland.
Lana?
Lana, right.
Got it.
I have a 1993 300D Mercedes.
Yeah.
When my car idles for an extended period of time, the car will only blow cold air.
Oh, the heater.
Right.
The heater will only blow cold air.
Right, when I have the heat on.
And this happens, again, when did you say? When it's been running for a long time?
Idling.
Right, when I'm idling for a long time. Like, it can't be just at a stoplight.
Yeah.
And then when you start moving and you get the speed up to what speed do you start getting adequate heat? Like 10, 20 miles an hour?
Maybe like 20. I'm guessing 20.
And is it instantaneous as soon as you...
It gets warmer and warmer and warmer.
Okay. And if you were to sit there at idle and put the thing in park and rev it up, you'd get heat. Have you tried that ever?
Never.
You should. It would be surprising.
I should. I'm going to do that today.
And it may satisfy you. It may be better than the answer we're going to give you.
Uh-oh.
Because we know this will work.
But is this a big deal to repair?
It could be.
Have you ever checked the... radiator fluid, the coolant?
No, well, not that I know of.
Okay, I mean, you could simply be low on antifreeze. You know, it's that same antifreeze that's in the radiator that cools off the engine that actually heats you up in the passenger compartment. There's a little radiator under the dashboard.
Okay.
And the hot air, the hot water, or the coolant, rather, from the engine.
It's called coolant, but it's hot.
Yeah. They should be called hotant.
Hotant.
Yeah. It's cooling the engine, but it's heating you up. You know, it's like any radiator works.
And if there isn't enough of it in the system, it won't flow enough.
Especially when the engine is running slowly, because what pumps it around is the water pump, which is driven by the engine. So when you're sitting there stopped at a light, the engine is turning very, very slowly.
I'm going to guess that that's all you need.
Oh, good.
I mean, don't check it yourself, because you might do something silly like take off the radiator cap when it's hot, and it'll blow hot water in your face, and that'll be horrible.
Yeah, either you need
then you'll end up looking like my brother.
That's not good.
But with the bag or without the bag?
It ain't pretty.
So you can have somebody check the coolant, and you may just be low.
Okay.
If there is enough coolant in there, suggest to them that they bleed it of the air. If the thing is airbound, the same kind of thing can happen.
Okay, so if not low, ask them to bleed it.
Bleed it.
Now I'm going to give you the worst case scenario.
Don't even bother.
Well, she wants to know. Don't you want to know, Lana? I think so.
I do.
The worst case scenario, I think, is that you need a water pump.
Okay.
Because if the water pump veins are worn out, and we've seen this a few times, although not
hardly
often.
Hardly ever.
enough to warrant an explanation here.
Yeah, all right. I'll go along with
it.
Then
at low speeds, the pump cannot pump enough coolant to get the coolant in sufficient amounts to the little heater inside your car.
Okay.
To that heater core.
And those are expensive.
The water pump, it's several hundred dollars.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe more than set. What is it, Mercedes?
Mercedes? $500.
An old Mercedes.
Yeah, but that's probably the worst case scenario.
Okay, well, that's not too bad.
But I would say that the chances are 80% that it's one of the other things, either air or low on coolant, and 20% water pump.
Okay, great. Thanks.
See you, Lana.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Hey, you know what time it is?
Time to add antifreeze to the company hot tub?
No. It's time to play Stump the Chump. The part of the show where we dig up a caller from a previous show
to see
if we collect $200, land on free parking, or
go directly to jail. Dig up. I like that. So anyway, who's our lucky contestant?
Well, this week it's Aaron from St. Paul, Minnesota. Remember Aaron? Neither do I.
Of course I do.
Aaron called us a couple of months ago because his Nissan Maxima was making this funny sound when he drove off in the morning.
The best way I can describe it is a scene from a Three Stooges movie where the three of them are sleeping in the same bed. I don't know if you remember that. But Moe goes, and Larry goes, woo, and Curly goes, woo, 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 woo.
Remember it.
You remember that?
We got that picture hanging right on the wall here.
All right. My car is Larry. My car goes, woo.
Just one time.
No, it goes, woo, and then it'll maybe a few seconds will go by, and then I get another, woo.
Oh, you woke up the under-the-hood owl when you started
the
engine.
That could be.
I could see we were helpful as usual. So did we give him any real advice?
Yeah, we told him it was an early warning sign of an impending power steering pump failure.
Jeez, I don't like this. We did. Anyway, Aaron, are you there?
I'm here.
Look, before we find out if your power steering was failing or our powers of deduction were failing, we need to confirm that we have not spoken since your last appearance on Car Talk. Is that true?
We have not spoken.
Right. And also that the answer you're about to give here on Stump the Chumps has not been influenced in any way
yet
by our staff, the staff of NPR, or the box set of Three Stooges classics that we sent you.
Oh, and I didn't get those yet.
So anyway, was it the power steering pump?
You were wrong.
Oh! Yeah,
I didn't like the answer at all anyway.
I didn't. Yeah.
How did I let you get away with saying that?
Well, you.
Or did I say it?
Maybe you did. Who knows?
I don't know.
We were wrong, huh?
What was it?
Well, this mystery got solved in an unexpected way.
You had an accident.
No. Totally independent of the woo issue, I buy four new tires a few weeks later. What happens? No woo. The woo is gone.
What?
So I asked the tire guy about it, and he says there probably was something amiss in the brake housing. Maybe he said calipers. And that the problem was cured somehow when the new tires were put on the car.
Well, that's bogus.
Yeah, that's almost as bogus as our answer.
That's more bogus. But obviously it had something to do with the tires.
Well, he thought it was the brakes. And actually, a guy before him, a mechanic before him, I cut down a long story, thought it was the metallic pads in the brakes that were making the noise.
Yeah, well, you know, this time that I'm listening to your story, and I'm sure the last time, too, I had the feeling that it was making the noise when the vehicle was not in motion.
No, I started up in the morning and slowly moved away, and I turned the steering wheel a little bit, and it would make the woo.
You know, I'm going back to the original answer. It's the power steering pump.
All right, we're going to... I don't think the tires had anything to do with it.
I don't think anything got fixed in the brakes. Don't forget, they took the wheels off. They fitted new tires on the wheels, and they stuck them back on. They wouldn't do anything to the brakes. If they did, they would have charged you for it.
But right. There's no woo.
How long since you put the new tires on?
September 1st.
September
1st. So you've been wooless for a couple of months.
Wooless.
The woo is going to come back.
All right. Well, there's another chapter then.
Where do you live?
St. Paul, Minnesota.
Is it real cold there yet?
Are you kidding?
It's freezing, huh?
That's the Trojan horse in my mind.
I'm wearing three jackets in the morning now.
We'll check back with Aaron because
I think the woo's going to come back.
All right, I'll keep track.
All right, man.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. I think this is a temporary setback for us.
Oh, yeah?
Because I don't believe that the tires had anything to do. I don't like that answer.
No, that's a bogus answer.
That's a bogus answer. Tires
and we ought to know because we are what? The masters
of bull.
The chief purveyors of bogosity. Is it bogosity?
Bogosity. It's bogosity. It changes form because it's second declension.
Okie dokie, 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Lawyer on Car Talk.
Hi, my name's Anita from Milwaukee.
Anita, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
We're great.
Good.
What's up, Anita?
Well, the problem is not with the car, but actually my sister.
Mm. Yeah, we have that problem.
We have that problem, too.
So my sister used to own a 94 Camry. And every time I'd sit in the car with her, I would get sick to my stomach. I'd get a headache. I'd be nauseous. And I just assumed it was the car. So every time we needed to go somewhere, I insisted on driving.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So last year, she got a BMW. And I was ecstatic because now she can cart me around, right?
Yeah.
Well, the first time I got in the car, I was sick to my stomach. I had a headache.
Oh, this is as the car is moving or?
Oh, while it was going 50 miles per hour down I-94.
So, but not just sitting in the car.
No.
So it's not your sister.
Well.
Oh, it is. Oh, yeah.
So, it might be the way she drives.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So I don't know if you're familiar with this miles per gallon feature on the BMW.
Yeah.
Where when you accelerate, the miles per gallon pin goes down.
And there's a needle that shows you.
It goes from infinity down to zero.
Exactly. Well, it looked like a windshield wiper.
Yeah, exactly.
But the way she drives,
and
up, down, up, down.
Exactly. So, you know, she's accelerating and decelerating. That's what's making me sick. So I was trying to explain to her, you know, if you accelerate and decelerate, you know, first of all, you're making me sick. And second of all, it's bad for your car. And she looked at me and said I was full of it. So the reason I'm calling is, am I full of it?
Oh, hardly. Your car is the happiest when it's not moving.
just like me.
it's second happiest when it's moving at a constant speed. And things are wearing out the slowest when the car is moving at a constant speed, whether it be 0 or 60 miles an hour.
Oh, hooray.
So all you have to do is tell her that she's, you know, ruining the car. And when it doesn't work, you have to be prepared to blow lunch.
Yeah, you can ruin the car for her. Blow lunch and see how she likes that. In fact, you know what you can do?
Oh,
go to a joke shop.
And buy the plastic puke.
Plastic puke. And it's so good. You know, it's a flat piece of plastic, and it's so good. You can just make believe that you puked and say,
my brother brings this out every Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Now, do I throw it on the floor in front of her, or do I throw
it on the floor? No, you just have to sneak it onto
the
floor.
You wait for her to go get out of the car for some reason, like you and she are going someplace.
Oh.
She says, I have to run to the post office for a minute. And then you put it on her seat, and you've got yourself bent over to say, Gloria, I'm so sorry.
You have to make sure first that you've built up for it. So you keep saying, stop driving like that. I'm getting sicker. And when you finally come to a stop, she gets out. You take this thing out of your pocketbook, you lay it on the seat, and you go through the action.
What you do is you say, pull into this parking lot quick.
I can't.
Could you run in and get me a bottle of water? And she'll run in while you're there, and of course you can't get out of the car fast enough, and you hurl on her seat.
Yeah. Oh, I love it.
I do too.
Yeah.
I knew you would.
Oh, I love it.
Good luck, Anita.
Thank you very much.
See you later.
Take care.
Good
Bye.
Luck.
Bye-bye.
Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David, the Cavs of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Knicks, and Catherine Frau Blooper, Fenolosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Britchard. Our engineer is John Carton Parati. Our interns are Ariel Niedermeyer and Kira McKnight. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisors, just back from the Black Sea, Chablis, Kimchi, Sweet Pea, French Brie, Green Tea, Crabe Louis, Kedgeri, and Vitamin C Jamboree and Shopping Spree, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our personal hygiene advisor from the Tokyo office is Otekashawa. Our staff bicycle tester is Maya Sertz. Our press secretary is Don B. Zonozzi. Our anger management counselor, our marine forecaster is Caesar Choppy. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. The Payne Diaz family has the week off, but the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the shielding coat-clad pigeons in Harvard Square as Hugh Louis Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and don't drive like my brother.
And don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1147, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, our 50 least worst shows ever.
Yeah, I mean, we hesitate to use the word best or even good in connection with Car Talk, but people have asked us over the years to identify some shows that were memorable to us for one reason or another, and now you can browse through our top 50 and even download them from iTunes.
If your iPod doesn't reject them.
It might happen, you know. Check out our list of the 50 least lousy Car Talk episodes and add your own reviews right now over at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though stem cells pray they don't develop into ears whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.